know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Momutsi, alongside me as always, Coach Brendan Sir, two-time NBA champion. Coach, we got a lot to talk about. How you been, though? How you been living?
No, not as good as you, but I'm hanging in
there, you know. As good as me. Yeah. As good as me.
When did we last talk? Friday night? Is it Friday? I'm trying to remember when we did our last show.
I have no concept of time. I'm just going to be honest with you. I have no concept of time.
I'm not sure. I think it was Friday, but it was Friday. But
I don't know what day it is today. Right now, it's Tuesday, the 5th of May at 5:20 a.m. That's what it is right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So we spoke, I think, after the Pistons-Orlando game on Friday.
Game 6.
Yeah. It was the incredible loss by the Magic. You know, positive that it was that night because you
Because
45 minutes
the game
without scoring, you know, real time.
Yep.
Et cetera and that. So, you know, of course, then another tough loss again for the Magic and against Franz Wagner again, three games in a row, not playing because of a air quotes calf strain.
You not believe in it?
No. No, no,
why,
sir.
Would you not want to play game 7 of a playoff game?
No, medically, one of the top doctors in the country told me this weekend, and he's not one of the top, he might be as good as there is, said there's nothing in the medical journals or books about a calf strain. There's no such thing.
Well, all these players who had calf strains like a week before their Achilles test, though. Last year, Dame Lillard had...
But a calf strain, you have a sore calf. But there's nothing medically to prove that you have a strain. You pull a calf, you tear a calf. You don't strain a calf. There's soreness there. And injuries happen and stuff like that. There could be a product of it.
Yeah, but
if you're gonna tear your Achilles, trust me, by staying out a week it's not gonna save it.
But calf strains have become the story of the season.
Epidemic of calf strains.
So you're saying the calf strains don't exist?
They don't exist, no.
Wow. I think Tyrese Halliburton would disagree with that.
Just like, erectile dysfunction, people say you have it. There's no such thing like that for someone of your stature, you know. No such thing.
Coach is going off the rails. This is what's happening after we record after midnight.
You're talking about this brother. That's a real problem.
That's all you, Coach. That's all you. According to the data, there were 108 games lost due to injury. Due to quote-unquote calf strains. So there are some docs out there who do believe it's a real injury.
I'm saying to you, I know how many games were missed this year, but there is medically no such thing as a calf strain.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is that those 108 games had calf strain written on the injury report.
1,000% they did. Yes. I had one the other day when I went to the bathroom, a calf strain. Okay.
What are you doing in that strain of calf?
No, I'm telling you, there's nothing.
Okay. Anyway, So if we're going to go deep into this conspiracy that calf strains don't exist, do you think Franz was sitting out the game on purpose so that his coach
would
get fired?
Absolutely not.
What is the assertion here if you don't believe he was injured?
No, I just said calf strain. My thing is I coached some of the greatest players ever to play in this game. The legends. Bird, Magic, Jordan, Isaiah. For those guys not to play in a game 7, and I'd said to them, hey, listen, you're not playing in a game 7, they would say, hey, do me a favor. You and Chuck don't coach game 7. We'll be playing. Don't worry about it, okay? There's no way those guys miss a game 7. I've had players play with unbelievable injuries, broken wrists and stuff. Isaiah had a broken ankle against the Lakers, and basically a fractured ankle for the last two games in the finals. He wouldn't sit out. You know, was he at 100%? He was probably at about 10%. Okay, but that's my point is that Michael Jordan, a famous flu game, nowadays the guy would probably be out a week. But then, you know, he only goes for 40 that day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot mental. You know what? There's a point when as a professional athlete, you're saying, And I don't care if I get in trouble for this because I don't work for anyone. Okay. But this is professional sports. And you have to play in a big game.
Do you feel the same way about Jason Tatum missing that game seven?
No, I mean, again, I don't know what he, I think it was an ankle injury, I believe.
No, it was, I don't know.
I don't know. I think it was an ankle or knee injury. I think it was something.
It was like a knee injury.
I think it was a knee injury. He limped in a game like his ankle was hurt. And then it turned into a knee injury. A knee injury, different deal. Different deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I trust that, I always trust the athlete. If they say they can't play, they can't play. But I'm just saying game seven, and we don't, you and I don't know this. We don't know this, is that if you ask Jason Tatum, did he want to play?
He definitely said wanted to play.
He definitely wanted to play, I would think.
100%.
I don't know anything, and I'm not accusing, and I think they leaned on the side of protecting the athlete. That's 100%. Fine. That's fine.
But, especially after finishing second in the East without him this year, you would like to think you can trust in your guys. But let's get back on track, Coach. Let's get back on track. Because you do know something.
You want to start over?
We're going to get back on track here. Okay. Let's go back to the Magic. Who lost game seven to the Pistons. We'll do each series one at a time, right?
Okay.
So the Magic lost game seven to the Detroit Pistons. Jamal Mosley has since been fired. Now, I don't think Jamal Mosley is the problem with Orlando. Now, you can criticize some of the decisions he's made and some of the things of how it's gone. I think Orlando have a real problem on their hands here. Because when you look at their books, you have Paolo, you have Franz, you have Bane, you have Suggs, Anthony Black needs an extension. So you're going to pay all of these guys. You're not going to have much room for depth around that. And I don't know what the ceiling is for this team. Because this was supposed to be the East is wide open. The Magic have just gone and traded all these picks for Bane, so they don't have the assets to make more moves. This was supposed to be the year you at least finish in the top four, or at least make out the first round, and that's why Jamal Mosley has gone.
Yeah, but that's totally not fair, because in either his first or second best player, one of the best players in Europe, Franz Wagner, misses a ton of games.
Yeah, but the Celtics missed their best player. But
you get knocked out, your best player doesn't play, and that's what happens in the playoffs. If you don't have the best guys there, it's hard to go on. So I don't know why he became the problem. So I really think it was unfair. Plus, the guy made the playoffs three straight years, two without Desmond Bane, by the way.
Yep, but when you're a front office and you've traded away five of your first-round picks...
That's not the coach's pick.
I know. But when you're the front office, right? Let's do this. I'm the front office. I've traded away five first-round picks for this guy. You're my coach. And I'm telling you, we've got you a shooter now. You didn't have any shooting on the offense. We've got you a shooter now. You're still bad, or maybe you're worse than the year before. I'm not going to take the blame. The player's not going to take the blame because we traded for him. We're not going to sell low. I think Desmond Bane had a good season. You're taking the blame. It's just politics. It's not a basketball decision. A hierarchy thing.
I always believe that a coach and anyone that works in an organization serves at the pleasure of the owner. Mm-hmm. Okay? Not the people that work above you, because most of the coaches make more than those guys. But, you serve at the pleasure of those people. And so, when Jamal handled it beautifully today, classy as he did going out the door. But, you can blame someone, but that's not how teams are not supposed to point fingers. Mm-hmm. A sports team, in any sport, players should not point to another player as the reason they lost. And a coach should not point to the players, but they're pointing at the coach in this case. We don't know everything involved. We don't know if there were some bad relationships there and stuff like that, that they didn't feel.
Yeah, there were rumors for a while. The writing has been on the wall for a while. And, they said he was coaching for his job and so on and so forth. So anyway, the Magic eliminated. Real tough season for them. A lot of injuries for them. Offense, miserable for them. But the Pistons advanced. It took them seven games to get out of the first round. I want to remind people that one of my favorite playoff series ever was when the Chicago Bulls, led by a young Derrick Rose, took the Boston Celtics with Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen 2-7 games in the first round. And no one saw that coming. Not saying that the Magic have got anyone like a young Derrick Rose on their team, but good teams do sometimes extend their series to 7 in the first round, and you get the wake-up call, and then you keep it moving. So how are you feeling about the Pistons after they have lost more games than you would have anticipated in the first round?
I think they're going to get by the next series against Cleveland, and then I think it's going to be a hell of a matchup with the Knicks.
Oh, Coach is getting straight to the point. Coach is getting straight. He's going straight to the conference finals. Yes. All right, so the Pistons are going to move on and face the Cavs, who were also taken to 7 games by the Toronto Raptors. I was really impressed by Toronto. Even though they didn't get it done in the end, they really impressed me.
They had so many guys out. I mean, they were coaching with, like, you know, I mean, it was a joke what they had to play with, in my opinion, without Ingram, without Quigley. I mean, they had a pea shooters compared to the Cleveland, and they just battled them. And their coaching staff did a great job of, and their players did a great job of being competitive. I love the way they played. I thought they gave everything they had, and that's what you want in a team. And I, just like I think the Magic gave everything of the guys that played, I think they busted their butt. You know, there were games that guys didn't shoot well, but I think they competed really hard. Mm-hmm. And that's what I look for. I look for teams that compete, and the games are really competitive. I never saw a second half like we saw with the Magic on Friday night. We haven't seen that often. But yesterday they competed. I thought yesterday Detroit was who we thought Detroit was supposed to be yesterday.
Jaden Durham with 15-15. He finally arrived at the series just the 6 games too late.
Cade got back.
Cade is a superstar, man.
And Tobias Harris had one of his best games of the year. Yeah, exactly right.
For the Raptors and the Cavs, there are three guys, Scottie Barnes, Colin Murray-Boyles, and Jamal Shedd. Those guys could play on any team I'm involved with any day of the week.
Yeah,
I loved what I saw from those three guys in particular.
And R.J. Barrett played very well a lot of the times.
Yep.
But you're right, those guys competed, you know.
They're some dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I worry about them as far as going forward because I don't think they have a center. A big-time center.
Yeah, Jacopo was clearly hampered by those back injuries, and they gave him that huge contract, so I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Yeah.
They're going to have to attach some picks. They're going to have to attach some picks to get off his contract.
Yeah, I think it's almost impossible to get off that contract. I really do. I think it's really hard to get what they want to get. You might be able to get rid of them, but to get what you need, a quality player, I don't think you
can. Yeah. Well, I also think, given the way that they played without Brandon Ingram, they could look at moving Brandon Ingram over the offseason as well.
I don't think that contract he can move right now with the injuries and things that he's had the last couple of years. He's got a bad history going back now 3 years now, constantly being hurt. Mm-hmm. Talented guy, man.
I watched this series, and for the Pistons, this was only their second time round in the playoffs with this group, right? They played one series last year. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. For the Cavs, though, I was very disappointed that it took them 7 games to win the first round. You know, James Harden, you're very experienced. You've been to the finals. You've been an MVP. Donovan Mitchell, you've been to the playoffs enough times now. Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen, you got enough experience as a front court together, you know, going through all of this. Why do you think it was so difficult for them? They haven't won a road game yet.
I think they're trying to figure out Donovan and James about, it seems like they're taking turns.
Mm-hmm.
It's my turn to shoot. It's my turn to handle. And I don't think their system, it's not defined enough. And I think Donovan, you know, he's one of the leading scorers ever in the playoffs in the first round. Well,
he was.
And I think that's what he wants to maintain, as opposed to just winning and stuff like that.
He dropped 32 in the first game, 30 in the second game. Then he dropped 15 on 7 of 16 shooting. Then he dropped 20 on 6 of 24 shooting. Then he had 19 on 7 of 17. Then he had 24 on 11 of 26. And then he had 22 on 9 of 20. So even in the closeout game, he wasn't great.
No.
You know, to quote our good friend, Mr. BJ Armstrong, whenever we would talk about the Cavaliers, I could just kind of sit here and just chill out because I knew what he would say, right? Every time he said, you know, their backcourt is too small. When they had Garland and Mitchell together, you need just Donovan Mitchell should be a point guard. But the other thing he used to always say, is the Cavaliers aren't going to win until they realize Evan Mobley is their best player, which I found very interesting. And one play that I saw, I believe this was in game six, just before RJ Barrett beat the buzzer, was Evan Mobley getting the out-of-timeout play, out-of-bounds play called for him to get the ball, take it to the paint and score it. So I think if they lean more into that, because I think Evan Mobley is a supremely talented player, it might be better for the team. Now, managing Donovan Mitchell, who you obviously want to retain, and James Harden, who you traded for, and egos and personalities, and everyone wants to take the shot, that's tough. But that was a common theme when discussing Cavaliers on the show for the last 5 years.
Yeah, I think, first of all, Donovan's smart enough, and he was a very bright kid, that he's not going anywhere. There's no one that's going to pay Donovan Mitchell. He's going to make a ton of money staying in Cleveland. He knows that. He doesn't have to worry. He's going to get a terrific contract. James Harden's going to be right where he's supposed to be there next year. I think they need to really focus on playing through their bigs, because they're one of the few teams that plays two bigs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your edge. That's your edge. You're not a five-out team like everyone in the league wants to be. You really have two dominant guys that can bang. One's a shot blocker and a defender. The other guy's more physical. But they're both really good players, and I think that's where they got to go. And that's how you get other teams in foul trouble. I think they need to play through them more.
So with the Pistons and the Cavs advancing, let's have a look at that series. How do you like that series? You said earlier you like the Pistons to win that one. Can you expand on why you think the matchup is favorable?
I'm a big home court guy in the playoffs, and I just think the Pistons really play well at home. They're really good at home. They know they can really win on the road. I mean, they know that, but when they understand that you can't give away a home court game like they did in game one, you know, against Detroit, you got to play well at home. And when you do that, then I think it's hard to beat you. They also have, because of Cade, they're good enough to win games on the road.
Yeah.
So I think that's where they have the edge. They can win two at home. They can go and steal one out of two on the road. And then you got several games to close out. That's why I favor a team that starts at home.
I'm looking at the matchups on this, though. And they're going to put, I assume, Dean Wade on Cade Cunningham to start. And then they'll have Donovan Mitchell probably hiding on Ausar Thompson, who's not a shooting threat. James Harden, I don't know what the matchup's going to be. You know, I don't know how the matchups are going to go. But I do think that having two non-shooters on the floor favors Cleveland slightly in terms of the matchups that way.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, who are you putting Ausar Thompson on? Is it going to be James Harden or is it going to be Donovan Mitchell?
You know, I think things like that, they vary throughout the series when you see who's hot. I'm probably going to put him on. Who's your other defender to possibly put on Donovan Mitchell?
I mean,
put him on him.
I mean, Cade's going to have to guard someone.
Yeah, so that's my point.
Cade's going to have to guard someone. Then it would be, you've got to hide Duncan Robinson on someone. And then you've got Tobias Harris as well.
Yeah, it's a problem, because when Harden is really cooking, that's when they have a huge advantage over the team, because the guy can literally score, run pick and rolls as good as anyone in the league.
I think he's a significantly better passer than Donovan Mitchell.
He's a terrific passer.
Yeah, I would put Ausar on James Harden.
The other guy's the better scorer, you know. So it's going to be interesting to watch how it happens, and they play so much pick and roll with Harden, where Mitchell can go one-on-one a lot. A good series. I said, you know, Detroit, I think Detroit got the bejesus scared out of them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was a big-time wake-up call. And we'll see how they bounce back real quick tomorrow.
Yeah, and I want to shout out Cade Cunningham on a punctured lung. Was that the injury he had, a punctured lung?
Yes.
Okay, in this last series, in round one,
Shouldn't have played. He could have got a collapse wrong.
Yeah. 39 points, 27 points, 27 points, 25 points, 45 points, 32 points, 32 points to close out the series.
And strained his calf too. Right.
Yeah. In the closeout game, 32, 12 dimes and two blocks. And only four turnovers. Everyone was complaining about his turnovers before. Which, by the way, I think he turns
the ball at an absurd rate for a terrific player.
But I'm not mad at that, because look at the situation he's in. He's got two guys on the court at all times who aren't going to shoot the ball. You've got the whole defense looking at him. He's trying to do everything for the offense. I will live with the turnovers. If you're telling me I've got Kate Cunningham on my team, I'll live with the turnovers. So that's one side of the Eastern Conference. On the other side, the Philadelphia 76ers advanced in Game 7. I don't know who they were playing in Game 7. I didn't really hear much about that series.
They didn't play. Their team forfeit.
Should we talk about it, Coach? I think we've got to talk about it. I disappeared for a couple of days. We've got to talk about it now. So the Celtics, who were up 3-1, returned home for a Game 7, decided to change their starting lineup to start Ron Harper Jr., Luka Garza, Bayless Schieman, alongside Derek White and Jaylen Brown. They played like 6 minutes and then never came back into the game. And they lost Game 7 in a terrible fashion because they were down big, managed to get back into the game, and then couldn't score the basketball for the final 3 or 4 minutes. It was a terrible collapse. Now, you know what's interesting, Coach? The older I get, the less power sports have over my emotions, right? When I was younger, this would have ruined my life. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have spoke to anyone for weeks and so on and so forth. Now I'm just kind of like, okay, well, let's look at the big picture. They weren't supposed to be the second seed this season. People didn't even think they'd make the playoffs this season. They were in a quote-unquote gap year. Some people even thought they were going to tank. Quote-unquote gap year. They got the second seed. They got up 3-1. They would have won Game 7 if Jason Tatum had played. Cool, I can look at it through that lens. I can also look at it through the lens of, well, you were up 3-1. You may as well just go and win the series then. And once again, the Boston Celtics crash out of the playoffs due to what people describe as shooting variance. Live by the three, die by the three. Now, this is Joe Mazzulla's philosophy. Now, they lost this year, 3-1. They've lost, every time they've lost in the playoffs under Joe Mazzulla, they were like heavily favorited to win the series or whatever. First of all, I couldn't care less about odds and who's favored. Now, I personally don't care because the odds will tell you, oh, the best odds are for the Celtics to sweep them. I'm sitting here telling you before the playoffs begin, they're going to lose at least 2 games to these guys. I don't give a shit what the odd makers say. But yeah, this is Joe Mazzulla's philosophy. He lives and dies by it. It works in 2024. They won a championship. It didn't work in 2025 and it didn't work in 2026. They go again in 2027. I don't think that's going to change. There's people on the internet talking about firing Joe Mazzulla. Let me ask you this question. You go fire Joe Mazzulla. He's going to have every other team in the league, except for a couple of them, are trying to hire him by the morning.
Yeah, I mean, what happens in coaching is, when you win, you're praised. When you lose, you're scorned.
Mm-hmm.
It happens, right? I mean, so I think what you have to do is you have to isolate. You don't go by what happened during the season because we're paid to win playoff games when you have really good teams. And when Tatum came back, he had a good squad. He had a good squad.
He had a good squad, but on paper, before the season began, he didn't have a good squad.
That. It has nothing to do with it. Season's over, he got the second seed. If he went before the season, he doesn't make the playoffs. Okay,
but what I'm saying is, with any other coach, they wouldn't have been the second seed.
Forget that, though. It doesn't. No,
but they wouldn't have been there with another coach.
It doesn't matter. We're talking about the playoffs now. We're not talking about, Joe. You just isolate, and for him to learn, every coach, you learn this in coaching, is that every game you make mistakes as a coach. Every game I've ever coached, I made mistakes. Sometimes people notice, sometimes they don't. You have to be, I would hope that he, as disciplined as he is, would sit down by now and assess what he did, what he didn't do, and where he can grow and learn. That's all. And I'm not going to sit here and second guess him. The bizarre thing was the starting lineup. That's inexplicable to me why he did it. I would love to know.
I have a theory.
No, it doesn't matter. It was a terrible decision.
I have a theory.
Go ahead.
In game 6, when they were getting their ass kicked, the bench lineup came in. Schieman, Garza, Ron Harper Jr., so on and so forth. They were the only players in game 6 who looked like they even cared about winning. The best stretch of the game was with the bench unit in. And I think his logic was like, well, my starters have been awful. We're going to give these guys a go. They played great in the minutes they played in the last game. And the guys who has been starting, playing with a lack of effort, missing all these shots left and right, they could go to the bench because Hauser was awful this series. Nunez Kaye picked up an addiction to fouling. So I can see the logic of why you would do this. However, waiting until a game seven to do this was the insane part. You could have done that in game six.
That's all I'm talking
about. Could have done that in game five.
I'm not talking about any other game except game seven.
Yeah.
That's what he was going in. He had a one game winner take all. That's it. It's that simple. My thing is he should have started Vucevic because you go with a guy that's played a lot of games and tried. I agree with it not starting his best center because he was getting in so much foul trouble.
I think Vucevic was the best player in the series.
You don't put a kid like Garza in there because he makes it easy for referees to make foul calls and the game's too big for him. He's never been in something like that.
Super galaxy brain and put Hugo Gonzalez starting at the five.
You know, that's why you're not coaching him this league.
We would have lost either way. The simple answer to all of this is that the Boston Celtics have no one on their roster that could match up with Joel Embiid. That's the answer.
Sure.
Okay. They had Al Horford before. Even at this age of Al Horford, if they had Al Horford on the team, they would have won that series.
They don't have Al Horford. So
they exactly. They didn't have a big that could match up with Embiid. That was the long and the short of it. We could talk about the threes. We could talk about the lineups. Joel Embiid came back. It shifted the entire thing. He was great. Also, we can talk about how bad Boston were. I, for a long time in my life, was just a hater. I would like to give some credit to Mr. Paul George. Fantastic series from Paul George. Kelly Oubre Jr., fantastic series. VJ Edgecombe, some fantastic games in this series. Tyrese Maxey, superstar series. And Joel Embiid, elite playmaking, elite scoring, elite getting to the free throw line. Great stuff. Nick Nurse was a great coach in this series. His after timeout stuff was fantastic. The adjustments he made were fantastic. Philadelphia 76ers deserve to win that series. Fair play to them. They advance. They played game seven on Saturday, and on Monday they played game one versus the New York Knicks, who were waiting for them. And they got their ass beat. And that does not surprise me at all, because the emotional high of winning a game seven, plus the fatigue of playing in a game seven in Boston, then traveling to New York on a Sunday, and then playing a game on Monday, I thought that was a write-off anyway. I thought that was a scheduled loss. You could go into Madison Square Garden, the fans fired up, the Knicks have been waiting, the Knicks have been watching, game planning, and cool. The Knicks blew them out in game number one. What did you think of that game, Coach?
Well, it wasn't a game. It wasn't a game at all. And the same thing happened to Boston. Beat them by 30, 31, 35 or in game one also when they played them. So it doesn't seem that, you know, after, you know, they were ready either series to start Philly. So we'll see what happens in game two. You know, I mean, to be honest with you, it was no game at all tonight.
137-98 was the final score.
And New York is right now the last four games or so, they're on a different wavelength than everyone else, I think.
Yep.
And almost in the whole league, they're at that level now.
Do you know who's also on a different wavelength than everyone else, in my opinion? OG Anunoby has been fantastic for the New York Knicks. Yep. Tonight, 7 of 8 from the field, 18 points, elite defense as he does. He had 29 in that closeout win against the Atlanta Hawks. He has been so good for them. Karl-Anthony Towns, and we spoke about his playmaking and the development in that. He's been fantastic. And what I found really interesting early on in this game was Cat got two fouls early. Mitchell Robinson comes in. Nick Nurse went straight to the Hacker Mitch strategy. So then we saw some early minutes from Ariel Hukpulti. I like the kind of gamesmanship and the mind games of going to Hacker Mitch so early in this series. But what do you think about our strategy, Coach?
Yeah, you know, it depends who's fouling them. You can't do it with your good players because then it takes them out. So if you're going to take one of your starters out to put someone else in to foul,
it didn't matter. The stars only played 25 minutes in this game.
No, I'm saying as a strategy early in a game,
yeah,
it doesn't hold up. You know, I get it at different times. It doesn't hold up, in my opinion. But, you know, hey, I think New York is, until something happens, if everything stays the same, they are really locked in right now, and they believe in each other. They believe in the coaching staff, et cetera. So I think they're in a very good spot right now, and I think they can smell getting to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and Brunson was amazing as well. So you have the Knicks winning this series. How many games do you think it will take them to do it?
I think it could be five.
Yeah. I've got Knicks in six.
Yeah.
For the Pistons and the Cavs, how many games did you have the Pistons? Six games.
You know, I think that could be also a five-game series. I think they can win two in Detroit. I think they can split down in Cleveland and then win one back at home to clinch it. And so, you know, if they don't win in five, then it could go seven.
Yeah, I got seven for the Pistons.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So
you got to handle your home court if you're a good team.
Should I tell you the silver lining for Philly for getting blown out today? You rested your stars for basically the second half of the game, so they just got some extra rest.
Yeah, and
that's,
they
that's
also
the silver lining.
And now what happens when you do that is now the players allow you to coach them because they don't want to get embarrassed again. And that's what they did against Boston. They came in and won game two in Boston. Mm-hmm. So the Knicks are gonna walk around New York. I don't know when they play next. Do you know when they play?
The day after tomorrow, I believe.
I haven't looked at it then. But whenever they play next, they're going to really, really feel good about themselves because everyone in New York is just going to tell them how great they are.
Yeah, they're playing every other day now.
They're playing every other day. So they're going to walk around. Everyone's patting them on their back. The only thing you worry about is anyone on the Knicks getting a back injury from everyone patting mm-hmm. them on their back. And so I think, you know, this is the problem you fall into. Human nature sets in. Everyone telling you how great you are. So game one, when you win at home, you worry about a letdown. When you lose game one as a visiting team, we can get game two. That's all we're trying to do. Now we're going to just get one up here. Then we have home court advantage. That's what you
Series don't begin until someone wins on the road. So with the Knicks and the Sixers, a complete blowout, and I was quite glad, you know, because at halftime of Knicks Sixers, the NBA decided to start Spurs versus Timberwolves. Yeah, now, I don't understand the scheduling. Apparently, it's because they wanted to have the Knicks game finish and then Jimmy Fallon's show begin after that, and Jimmy Fallon was in attendance courtside at Madison Square Garden.
His show's recorded beforehand.
Okay, well then, I don't know what the hell they're doing. They want to give the Knicks prime time slot. Cool, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's bad if you're a league to have two games overlapping at this stage of the playoffs. I think just do one, then do the other one. But what do I know? And I believe you couldn't even watch the second game.
No, because it was on Peacock.
So you need NBC.
Streaming video.
Yeah, let me just get it straight. So if you live in America, you need NBC. You need Peacock. You need Amazon Prime. You need ESPN. And then you need your local, ABC, you live in New Orleans, you need your local New Orleans station to watch the Pelicans.
Yes.
Then you need ABC to watch the finals. So I'm up to six now on TV packages an NBA fan might need. And then you need NBA League Pass, because if you wanted to watch Nets versus Hornets on a random Wednesday night, you'd have to find it somewhere to watch. So you
But you can't watch your local TV on League Pass.
Yeah, that's why you got to get the local. So you need seven subscriptions to watch the NBA in America.
I can't watch the Pelicans play on League Pass.
So this is the trade-off, Coach, because I have International League Pass, so I can watch every game.
Yeah.
But the only problem for me is...
I might move there. Just
Do it, because then you're watching games at 5 a.m. and it's not great for the health. Anyway, I watched the second game. I had no interest in watching the rest of the Knicks beating the hell out of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Don't blame me.
And the San Antonio Spurs and the Minnesota Wolves put on an epic battle. It was a fantastic game. The headline, Minnesota win 104-102. Champagne misses the chance to hit a three at the end to win the game, just slightly off. Victor Wembanyama, insane triple-double, 11 points, 15 rebounds, and 12 blocks. That's insane. Here's I'm going to talk about the Spurs first. Wembanyama, 5 of 17 from the field, 0 of 8 from 3. His offensive game was not there tonight. The amount of times I saw him get an offensive rebound and throw up some weak putback, it was terrible. Could not hit anything from three. I did not like what happened on offense for Victor Wembanyama. What I liked even less than that, coach, even less than that, because this is his first time, you know, his first playoff run. He's still young. Do you know what I liked even less than 5 of 17 from Victor Wembanyama, 0 of 8 from 3? Their supermax player, Mr. De'Aaron Fox, 10 points on 5 of 14 shooting, 0 of 4 from 3, 0 free throws attempted. 6 turnovers.
Someone told me Jaden McDaniel was guarding him. Is that true?
Yes. That does make life a little tricky.
That is.
But he wasn't right sticking to him for the entire game. Oh, there was right? possessions where he wasn't guarding him. You know what I mean? Like, there were some possessions where he was matched up on Wemby. Like, they had to switch off a screen and so on and so forth. Inexcusable for De'Aaron Fox to be that. I get Jaden McDaniels is a good defender.
Yeah.
But he's not that good that you're going to go, like.
No, I mean, and that's what happens when you win a series. And again, you go home from last week's game when you played last Tuesday. I believe they had 7 days off. Now you travel, and now everyone's telling you how good it's going to be. And oh, now you're playing the Timberwolves without Ant, you think.
Yep.
Without Ayo Dosunmu, you think. And now all of a sudden you're saying, we got a shot. And well, no DiVincenzo also.
Yeah. And Edwards came off the bench in this one for 18 points in 25 minutes, 8 of 13 from the field. Amazing performance from him. You could see that towards the end of the game, the knee was starting to bother him a little bit. Terrence Shannon Jr. really impressed me in the starting lineup.
He's great. I love him.
He took a charge on Wemby. He made some nice shots down the stretch. He finished with 16 points. Jaden McDaniels was himself. But do you know who I think is the X factor in this series?
Our friend, the big fella.
Julius Randle.
Oh, Julius. Okay.
Julius Randle. Do you know why? The Spurs have no one that can match up with Julius Randle.
They don't have a power.
I like the matchup of Wemby on Gobert, but Julius Randle is too strong. He's too powerful for anyone that the Spurs have
on their team. Power forward.
Unless you're going to give Carl Bryant significant minutes, and even he was undersized Julius Randle.
He's way undersized.
No, but he's just a freak athlete. They don't have anyone on their roster. I guess the aging Harrison Barnes is the best you could do, or Keldon Johnson, but they don't have anyone that can match Julius Randle, who finished with 21 points and 10 rebounds. I like Julius Randle in this game. I think it was great for him. Rudy Gobert was going up against his protege, Victor Wembanyama, you know, someone he's mentored a little bit, both being on the French team. Mike Conley was solid. Naz Reid came off the bench with 12 points. I think it was a real nice effort performance from the Timberwolves. Do you know what I'm saying? It showed a lot about this team.
And I love the scoring of the game. That's what the games have to be around 100 for a road team to win. So that Minnesota's been doing a terrific job defensively, I think.
Yeah, they have, because Wemby and Fox could get nothing going. Champagne and Castle were their leading scorers with 17. Vassell had 14. I lied. Dylan Harper came off the bench with 18. He was really good. Was really good. But this series, let's predict this series, coach. Now that the Timberwolves are 1-0 up, do you think that they can do what a lot of people considered the impossible before the playoffs began?
Yeah, I mean, without Ant, they had no chance whatsoever. They need to get Dosunmu back if possible, because he's got speed. Quickness, because that's the advantage the Spurs have, is their perimeter defense, the perimeter quickness. And I think Mike Conley's a little old to be trying to do that in his 18th year, you know, and he's just doesn't have that game anymore. So I think they need Dosunmu back, and obviously Ann has to stay healthy for them to have a shot. But they got to get big games out of McDaniel, big games out of Julius Randle, I think, for them to be competitive. But amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's one of those wins that you say, that's one of the best wins we've had by far all year.
It was fantastic for the Timberwolves.
This is a team that we've said all year was underachieving and was good enough to be in the finals, the T-Wolves.
Well, we said all year that you can't just flip the switch and decide to play hard when the playoffs come on, but they've decided to flip the switch and play hard, and it seems to be working out all right for them. What's your prediction for this series? How many games and who ultimately takes the win?
I thought the Spurs would win the series, you know, and You know, and I still think they will, but I think this thing will go down to possibly seven games now, losing home court advantage now.
They have insane.
They have to flip it by winning two games up in Minnesota.
Yeah, is it insane? I'm on the Minnesota Timberwolves hype train right now.
Yes, but that's okay. Yep. That's okay, though. That's okay.
I don't know. I've got to see.
It's almost six in the morning. You're allowed to do anything you want now.
Hey, I just said I'll start Hugo Gonzalez on Joel Embiid. I just got to see how Ant's knee is holding up in game two.
That's right.
Because he played
about.
Through a lot of pain in game one. So game two could be, it's gotten worse. So I've got to see game two and how Ant's holding up.
When do they go again? They go again
every other day. Wednesday. So they got a day off tomorrow and then they go again.
Yeah.
And then the other series out west that starts tonight, the OKC Thunder and the LA Lakers. What's your thoughts on that series? Apparently, Luka is still a little while away from returning.
Yeah. As I said last week, I think it could be five games for OKC. A sweep would not shock me.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing to do with the Lakers at all. I just think OKC's that good. And I think they have laser focus right now on what they're doing.
Yeah.
Without Jalen Williams also, who's out again for game one.
Yeah, but they're used to that this season now.
No, but I'm saying, but he's a big factor.
Yeah.
You know, but I still think they're that good that they can still win in five or even four.
That's yeah, I'm going to pick the Thunder in six.
Yeah.
You just never know how these things can go. You know what I mean?
Injuries are a big thing. You know, Austin Reeves got hurt at the end of the game the other night. And he never came back in the game in Houston. So I don't know if he got banged up again. I haven't seen any reports on it. LeBron just played his butt off the other night. I don't know if he can do that against these young cats, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see. They got a little bit of rest before that.
Can I say one thing defensively about OKC is what they have a habit of doing. And this is what Dagnall does defensively. If one guy on their team that they're playing against is just kicking their butt, could be LeBron, could be Reeves, they will just trap that guy to take him out of the game. Mm-hmm. And it can really hurt you if you don't. Rui Hachimura, I think, was phenomenal in the closeout game. And they need him to give a big, big series. I think it's almost unfair that the Lakers have to go through this without Luka and 100% AR.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to that Timberwolves game that I was talking about. You know, one thing that happened down the stretch was Rudy wasn't in the game. Not because Rudy's bad or played bad or anything, but having the lack of shooting out there was allowing Wemby to kind of stay in the paint more. And when they went to the perimeter guys, Wemby had to get out on the perimeter and guard. They ran some nice screening actions to get Wemby away from the paint. And I think that's what flipped the stretch of the game. Got Timberwolves their biggest lead late in the fourth. Yeah. And that's what helped them win ultimately.
Yeah, what Chris Finch also is doing then is he knows that it's an opportunity with the big guy in the game to foul because he's the poorest free throw shooter just about in the league.
Except for Mitchell.
I'm sorry?
Except for Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, the two of those guys are just amazing. You know, they're such great defenders and great rebounders. And when you have a guy like that in there, I went through it with Rodman. If people foul and put him on the line, it's like a turnover. And so I get it. You know, sometimes you have to take out one of your best guys, defender, rebounder, just because it's a liability on offense. So, you know, it's a tough thing, but I think the guys had a great series. The first series was phenomenal. See if he can build on it. I think there's also something where Wimby knows he's playing against the OG from France, and there's much respect there.
It was May the 4th yesterday, so a little Yoda versus, I don't know, I don't really. We need BJ back for the Star Wars reference, man.
Oh, is he a Star Wars
guy? He's a Star Wars nutcase. You know, one time we jumped online to record a podcast, and he was sat there with a real replica lightsaber. And I was like, what the hell is going on? He's a real Star Wars guy. I like Star Wars.
I don't get me wrong, but I don't know anything about Star Wars, and I never will.
I like Star Wars. There was also some news around the NBA. Masai Ujiri hired by the Dallas Mavericks. The Chicago Bulls also hired a new president of basketball operations. We'll talk about that when the offseason gets here. It's the playoffs right now. I ain't trying to talk about that. I'm trying to talk about the NBA playoffs.
I'm happy for both. They're both friends. I'm really happy for both of them. Bryson Graham was in New Orleans here for 12 years. Went to Atlanta this year. Absolutely spectacular guy. And Masai has been a dear friend since he came into the league. I just love him. He's great for the league and everything. And so he's a great addition to the Mavs. But we'll talk about those as we get through this playoffs.
Yes, yes, that's right. Let's keep the NBA playoffs train moving. There's more games tomorrow night, and there will be games every night. So stay locked in with the podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And if you want something to do when the games aren't on, make sure you get NBA 2K26, the best basketball game in the entire world. And I'll be playing a lot of NBA 2K26 because guess what, BJ, Coach?
Freudian slip. Star Wars.
That's it. Guess what? I've gone through the whole season without doing that. That's crazy. Guess what?
Hey, that's a great honor to be called BJ. I'll take it.
The Boston Celtics aren't eliminated on NBA 2K26. I can still play with them, and I can turn off injuries, so we'll be fine.
Keep shooting threes.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Knicks defense can't stop me. Sixers defense can't stop me. Come on now. I'm going now. I'm making Joel Embiid come and guard every screen roll action. I won't let him keep him in the help position like the Sixers did.
Very good strategy.
I mean, if only a team did that in real life. But that's enough from today's episode. We'll be back later this week with more. So appreciate you guys tapping in with us. And until next time, get buckets.